Got a couple of guests joining us in studio right now, Arlen and Sarah Fisher. Good morning to the two of you.
Good morning.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. April is National Donate Life Month. Jace, of course, recipient of a heart here recently. And you saw the other end of the spectrum, Sarah. For our listeners that don't know, tell us a little bit about your story.
Yeah, so June 28th of 2018, Cameron was involved in a car accident to where he did not survive his injuries, but he was a designated donor. And so thus far, over the last 5 years, he's helped 124 people with his gift of life. And he died by brain death, so he also was able to give his heart to a 30-year-old man from Iowa.
And you met the recipient of Cameron's heart, correct?
Yes, we have met all three of his major organ recipients, and that's been a huge part of our healing process.
Absolutely. It's never easy, and I have not been there myself, so I can't, you know, speak from firsthand knowledge about. I just can't imagine being a parent and losing your child, no matter what age they're at. But like you said, it's helped with your healing process.
Yes.
And so the two of you, Arlen, are busy in taking part in raising awareness for organ and tissue donation, correct?
Absolutely. I mean, it's been a long journey. We usually, every year, we speak to about 2,000 high school students a year in organ donation. We get into a lot of driver's ed classes, and it tends to be the right time because that's when they're posed with that question the very first time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and as part of National Donate Life Month, that's what you want to do. You want to raise awareness here for organ and tissue donation, correct?
Yes, and we have Crosses for Cameron, which is our foundation, and we work with our two local hospitals. We have a bone marrow transplant center here, as well as we do kidneys. So we work with Sanford and Essentia, and we provide gas cards for those patients that get transplants here. And we know that it's not a one-and-done thing. And once you've had your transplant, you have to come back for follow-up appointments. So we like to try to provide assistance to recipients.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, you know that first.
Yeah, I mean, we've made one, two, three, at least four other trips down to the cities after the surgery, and we've got another one coming up at the end of May, first part of June. So that's important to be able to give them those gas cards to get to their appointments, because it's important, especially during that first year, to be able to do that. Now, Sarah, can you talk a little bit, in a sense, I was curious about the healing that you've experienced and by meeting the donor recipients then, because I know from my perspective as a recipient, I look forward to the opportunity to meet the donor family. And how did meeting the recipients, how did that help your healing journey when it came to the loss of Cameron?
So I've known about organ donation my whole life. I actually work at Sanford. Mm-hmm. But until you're immersed in it yourself, I didn't really understand. You think it's a one-to-one relationship, but when we walked into the recipients' houses and we saw 50 people there, we forgot it's not a one-on-one.
Yeah.
All the people that loved Cameron, his friends, his coworkers, his family, the recipients also had all those people. Mm-hmm. And Cameron's recipients were very close to dying. They had hours and days to live. In fact, his heart recipient had been in the hospital for 347 days prior. He wasn't even allowed to leave. He was just that sick. So to see them up and healthy and being able to, his liver recipient had five children. And when she got Cameron's liver, it was her daughter's eighth birthday. Mm-hmm. And she was actually saying goodbye to her daughter at the same time she got the call for Cameron's liver. And now she owns a business in Illinois, and she's been able to do some of her dreams. And so although Cameron God had a different plan for Cameron, but he has helped all these people. And we always thought, because we were able to connect with our recipients, that that was just a normal thing. Mm-hmm. But there, as you can tell, I'm crying. But there's so much emotion that goes into both sides. Some donors don't want to meet the recipient families because, you know, they're just there's so much emotion around that. Yeah. And then some recipients as well, they don't know what to say. Like, thank you doesn't seem good enough when they know that someone gave their life. But It's a process, and it's a healing process for everybody.
Both sides.
Yeah. And it is. I mean, it's been a process for me. I know that when I was in the hospital, a lot of the staff there were like, aren't you excited? You've got this heart, you know. Obviously, they're looking at me as the patient and excited for me and that I can continue my road to recovery. But it's still hard for me to process because as excited as I am to have that second opportunity at life, my thoughts kept going to the donor's family and what they were going through because through their tragic loss, I'm still here. And it's hard for me as a recipient to comprehend and to articulate or even reconcile in my brain, why is it that I'm here and the donor is not, for example.
Right.
And I understand it's a two-way street, but you know, for both sides, it's a hard thing. And as I've said to my family, and when I wrote the letter to the donor's family that I think got passed on, I believe last week or the week before, there's a part of me that believes in all these other people that received donations from this donor, that going forward, I'm related to that family now,
yep.
You know, on a on a genetic level. So it's a weird thing to really wrap your head around. And I know that some of the guys that I talked to in the heart transplant group, there was one of them that they said basically has a vacation or has a get together every year with their donor family because of the bond that they now have. And so it is an incredible, incredible thing. I know that on my driver's license for years now, I've always marked it that I was a donor as well. Never, ever did I expect that I would be the one getting an organ, especially a major organ like a heart.
Well, it's funny you should mention that because there's actually a thing called cellular memory,
mm-hmm.
and it's where you can take on characteristics of your donor.
Mm-hmm.
And all three of Cameron's recipients asked, did Cameron like ice cream? Well, he loved ice cream, but, you know, as do most of America.
Yeah.
So that wasn't really concerning. But one day his liver recipient called me and she goes, my mom and I are fighting. Did Cameron like sauerkraut? Well, now my ears perked up because how many people like sauerkraut?
Yeah.
And that's actually, I'm almost 100% Bohemian or Czechoslovakian. And when Cameron was three, we were down in Florida and he said to the waitress, when she said, what can I get you? And he said, do you have sauerkraut and dumplings? So I knew that was all Cameron.
Yeah. There's one of the guys in the transplant group that had said that, I mean, just like most of us are fans of ice cream, but now he has ice cream way more often than they used to. And he kind of thinks that's due to his donor. So,
Yep.
And I got two messages. One of a grown man, very strong man here listening, saying, thank you for this. I'm here, sitting here sobbing. Another one saying, another great interview. So thank you for what you're doing. Yeah, you're helping a lot of people out there by bringing your story to us and letting us know your involvement in the different nonprofits here, Crosses for Cameron, as well as Crosses for Cameron, excuse me, as well as the Garden of Healing Park. And I know people who have lost, children, for instance, and they go to the Garden of Healing Park just to reflect and think. Mm-hmm. And it's been an incredible thing that you two helped establish here in Fargo.
Yeah, so we started out, we wanted to do just kind of a park to do organ donation and recipients and honor them. And then COVID hit, and I told Arlen, I said, we need more than just to raise a donate life flag. So we actually have the FM Legion Riders have provided bubblers for the veterans for MIA and POW. We have a breast cancer arm that the Roger Maris have honored those who have lost their lives to breast cancer. We just have a lot of different, we have Bible verses. People can do all different kinds of bricks. But I just have to share really quick the story. So we have an event coming up where we're trying to finish out the healing, raising money for the healing hotline. You know, sometimes you have a dream or vision. You think, okay, that's my dream, but is this really going to help people? Because you don't know what other people mm-hmm. think. Well, the healing hotline was actually a story brought to us by one of the driver's ed teachers in Moorhead. And CBS did a special, and it's based on a carpenter who lost his daughter's best friend. And he heard the parents say, if only I could talk to her one more time. So he took an old rotary phone, nailed it to a tree. And there's phone in the winds all over the country. You can map them out and see where they're at. Well, anyway, we wanted to do that too. So we worked together with a designer, Yada Hankinson, Infinite Design. And it's going to be really beautiful. We have all the phones donated, but we just don't have the rest of the money for it. Well, on Friday, I got a call while I was at work, and when I got a break, I answered the phone, and it was a young 24-year-old girl, and she said, "I'm at the Garden of Healing. Where is that healing hotline? I need to talk to my dad." And I said, "I'm sorry. It's not here yet." And she goes, "Oh, shoot. I lost my dad 2 years ago, and now I just came from the doctor, and I lost my baby. And I just need to talk to my dad." Mm-hmm. So I called my dad, and I said, "Would you grab the rotary phone from our house and go put it on the bench at the Garden of Healing?" So my dad was gracious to go grab it. She messaged me an hour later, and she said, "I just want to tell you, I was able to talk to my dad. I know he's not there, but it was an emotional release that was so healing for me. I might have to have you bring it out again." And I said, "Absolutely. But hopefully the next time you come out, it will actually be there in our structure so that you can sit down on the bench."
I love that. You're making me cry. And I keep getting texts from listeners saying, "What an incredible interview." And our listeners are crying too. But yeah, we feel your pain. But out of your pain, like you said, you also have these moments of joy.
Yeah.
Do you guys have some type, did I catch right, some type of event coming up at Bonanzaville on April 17th, Arlen?
We do. Coming up on April 17th, starting at 5:30, we have the Denim and Diamonds Shindig. Now, I mean, you could say it's another gala coming to town, but we're not calling it a gala because we're putting a special spin on it.
I like Shindig better anyway. What are you doing? What's the special spin?
Well, first of all, one of the meanings for Denim and Diamonds is that you can come with a T-shirt and jeans on, or you can come with a formal tux or a gown on, and it's going to be accepted. The only thing we ask is that you come dressed.
So, well, some type of clothes, right?
Exactly.
Well, I was going to say,
what if Waisaki wears his Speedo? Is that acceptable?
Well, I mean, technically, he'd be dressed, right? I guess. But
well, maybe we'll let that by. But no birthday suits for sure. No birthday suits. But the intent is to have a lighthearted, fun night where you can learn about organ donation and help fund the healing hotline. And we're going to have everything ranging from different games, like, for instance, we'll have pin the tail on the cow.
Oh, fun. Yeah, yeah.
We're going to have a cactus ring toss. For one of the main events, we're going to have a interactive pig race that requires crowd participation, and you can bet on it.
There you go.
So a lot of different activities just to keep it fun, lighthearted.
It sounds like it's family-friendly or adults only?
Yeah, it's, you know, that's a great question. We got the message yesterday, or we got that question yesterday, and we have to follow up with Beth at the event center for the Bonanzaville.
So stay tuned on that.
Exactly,
aspect.
Because I know we are serving alcohol there, so we don't want to make sure we break any rules.
Right.
That. But the four goals that we have with it is that we want to make sure that it ends within 3 hours. Because other than that, it gets too long. The second goal is I want you at the end of the event, I want the participants to say, "Wow, this was a great event." Because one of the things I can't do is I can never give you your 3 hours back.
Right.
Then the third goal that we have is that we want people to, as they leave, that they tell 10 of their friends to come next year. And then the final goal, keep in mind, it's a fundraiser. The final goal that I have is I want to clean out your pockets.
Yeah, yeah, I like that. Yeah, so. Good for you. How do we find out more information, I guess, on your April 17th event at Bonanzaville? Do we go to your Crosses for Cameron, Garden of Healing?
I would go to the Garden of Healing website.
Okay.
So it's gardenofhealingfargopark.org. So gardenofhealingpark.org. And right when you log in, there's going to be a banner that pops up. But if that banner doesn't pop up, at the very top of the page, it says register for the event. You click on the event, and you can go through and register.
And I know you guys have been part of Giving Hearts Day, too. You guys have, like, if somebody wants to make a donation outside of that, how do they do that? Yeah.
Well, they can do it through the registration site, or they can go out to the Giving Hearts Day website, look up Crosses for Cameron or the Garden of Healing. So
you can still do that outside of Giving Hearts Day?
Yeah, you can do that 365 days a year.
Okay. Oh, that's good to know. Yeah. I didn't realize that.
Or you can go out to our website, and you'll find a bunch of Give Now buttons. So, there's many different ways you can access it and donate.
And some people have said that they can't go that day, but they have bought tickets and given them to friends or family.
Oh, I love that.
So that's another idea for mm-hmm. for people too.
Okay.
So one other fun thing that we want to do is to help promote local bakers in town that are less known. Mm-hmm. Is that if we fill this event, there'll be 200 people, which is 25 tables of eight. Mm-hmm. We plan to have, we'd like to get 10 bakers involved where they'll create a dessert for us. The desserts will be on display prior to the serving of the food. And what we're going to do is we're going to auction them off by table. So, but we only have 10 desserts for 25 tables. So the highest 10 tables that bid the highest will get the desserts. And then everybody else
has to watch.
Everybody else has to watch. Absolutely.
GardenOfHealingPark.org for more information on everything that's going on. Thank you to the two of you for coming in to share your story.
You.
We know it's not easy, but keep on doing the work that you're doing. It matters.
It's important to mm-hmm. share that side of the donators because so many times we hear the stories of the recipients, and I think it's important to tell that story from the donor's perspective because without the donors, there's no recipients.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if you'd like to register to be a donor, go out to registerme.org.
Very good. Thank you, Arlen, Sarah. Appreciate
one,
it.
One quick thing from a donor or a donor's family side of it. I don't know how I would have navigated through this experience if it wasn't for Cameron being a donor. Because mm-hmm. how do you justify losing a perfectly healthy 22-year-old yeah. son? And at least we know now he's helped 124 yep. people yep. through his journey.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yep. Thank you, folks. Yep. We appreciate you. It. You bet.